Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse. 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 Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
Last name God, first name Black. Lyrics so tight you feel compelled to hit reverse playback. I disperse lame rap, go berserk, plain fact. Swinging my sword if you don't wanna get hurt, stay back. Stay back. I ain't a slave to a label, I love being free, being me. So I guess you never seeing me on TV. Receive a hip hop award on BET. Instead, see me at Savior's Day with other believers. Be tired of hearing rappers rapping about they got major cash. Cause all that money that you got ain't gonna save your ass. From the shock of the hour, homie, that's a fact. You gon' regret every word in that crap you rap. Truth is why you walking with a limp like you're cool. A lot of you are broke, getting pimped by a jewel. Modern day Goodfella, I'm Bobby De Niro. Elijah is the Don, Farrakhan is my hero. The Fed said he watching me close, but I don't study them. Looking for hypocrites in the mind so I can bloody them. Stomp him with my hard bottom Stacey's like I'm Joe Pesci. Catch him in the streets, cause then the monster captain won't let me. Won't let me. Won't let me.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
See me as I put your devils.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
PO3 is on another level.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
My tongue is like a butcher knife, I tell ya.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse. Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
It's P13, you can't see me like an abstract photo. With your skinny jeans sagging, showing your ass crack, homo. Your jeans so fat, you must have small testicles. Skinny jeans ain't gangster, you're looking transsexual. And now I see Lil Wayne wearing leggings. Get him lipstick, a person of Sierra, the fit is headed. Drake can flow, but he be acting too feminine.
That's right.
It ain't hard to tell Lil Wayne bending.
Who has been your favorite artist to work with and why?
Wayne is my favorite person to work with, though, because it's just, Lil Wayne, he's just too good.
You gotta give Wayne the love.
Too good.
Drake, it's just thank too good. Yeah. You so much.
Jay-Z is part of a satanic cult, very crazy. I guess Beyonce giving birth to Rosemary's baby. She needs to tell Sasha Fierce to sit her ass down. And Rihanna's like a flush that gets passed round. Nicki Minaj is of the greatest stylist, whacking in fact. Without the Botox injections, you probably flat in the back. Kanye, all I can say is I'm disappointed. You let the devil turn you out, now you Satan's anointed. You used to be the MC that Jesus walked with. You used to talk truth in your raps, now you only talk shit. Come on, with Khalifa, I wanna take a bat and bust your brain. Cause you're misrepresenting with a Muslim name. Either change the name or come right in exact, it's true. Black and yellow, I'm ready to beat you till you black and blue. I'm throwing stones while I'm living in a glass house. A law bulletproof my glass so it can't be smashed out. Smashed out, smashed out.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
See me as I put your devils.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
PO3 is on another level.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
My tongue is like a butcher knife, I tell ya.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse. Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
All these fake garbage rappers gon' stay hating. I knock them out like Fight Night, but this ain't PlayStation. It's not a game, partner, I'm coming real with it. Problem 13 is on the scene, you gotta deal with it. Jesus, the satanic coaster, it's a human sacrifice. I wonder what really happened with your nephew and Kathy White. Who's this dude, P13? He got hella nerve. I'm a Farrakhan disciple, I ain't never stirred. And I don't care about you putting me on some death list. Anyone mess with me, got to have a death wish. Your arms too short to box with God. I'm backed by Allah, mighty God for all. So you better be careful, homie, what you decide to do with me. A wrong move and Beyonce will be doing your eulogy. This goes for Lil Wayne's little satanic gay self too. Step to me and you won't find a soul on earth to help you. Not cause of me, but the God that defends me. We'll pay you back quick if you decide to come against me. Who got more power, you're Lucifer or my Allah? Well, let's see. Come against me, homie. Try to go. Try to go. Try to go.
Welcome to my slaughterhouse.
Problem13.net.
I feel
assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. And I greet all of you who have so graciously joined us in the chat room, and all of you who are on the line already, all praises due to Allah. And I greet in words of peace, assalamu alaikum. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you our beloved brother all the way from New York, Brother Philip God's Water Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Aziza. How are you?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. And
yes,
I am
ma'am.
So thankful that you are here with us today.
Praise be to Allah, and I'm excited about it. You know, I'm on reserve power right now, having worked so hard, you know, on the front lines as always. By Allah's grace and permission, just like yourself, we're sharing about 2 hours combined of sleep, you know, there's no way tired, you know. We got to roll hard like the minister does. I'm charged. I just heard the minister, you know, and as he's pulling the skirt off the Satan. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to share this air with you, this beautiful experience in our universe, on our Mother Earth, you know. So let's get it in.
Yes, sir. So, Brother Philip, tell us something about yourself that maybe some of us don't know.
Well, let me tell you. You remember the old record, If I Rule the World?
Yes, sir.
All right, that record came out sometime, I believe, in the mid-80s. It was by Curtis Blow. And when that record came out, I was very upset. Why? Because when I had became one of the most popular human beatboxers on the street, one of the original beatboxers in New York, I had leaked a tape out of a beat that I did. I sat at Motown Records with various professionals. I don't even know who's there. I mean, big names. But it's possible that Quincy Jones was there, people who were working with Vester Williams, and a lot of other people who were there, you know, as we were in executive offices down at Motown. And, you know, we dropped the tape on them. And slowly but surely, you know, it became really popular on the streets that, you know, this was going to happen. The beatbox became a really popular thing. And then Curtis Blow comes out with this record, and the same beat that he did with this record is the same beat I did with my mouth. And it goes a little something like this. Came out.
Wait a minute, did you just do all that with your mouth?
Yes, I did.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, so when that beat came out, you know, I sent some troops down to Co-op City, and you know, we had to find his brother, but he was nowhere to be found. We never got to confront him. So Brother Curtis, if you out there, I'd like to find out, how'd you get that beat? You know, I heard you changed your life over to Jesus and everything, so, you know, I figured, you know, the truth would come out if, by chance, that beat did come from that leaked tape. So, that's a little bit about history. You know, I actually was signed to Enjoy Records under Bobby Robinson. I was label mates with Kumo D. My first solo record was Kick It In Your Crib on Enjoy Records, and prior to that I was on PMP Records with a group called DJ MCs. They were really popular in Harlem, you know, and we rocked in various places in Harlem, particularly, you know, outside, you know, parties and things of that nature. But we really had a trouble to climb up into the atmosphere of the music industry. And I found out later in the game why wasn't I successful at coming out. It's because the same reason why many of us are not successful today. And that's because you're doing something that is not in accord with your destiny. you know, you may have tapped into the hereafter, but you're not really living any at a level of existence that is pleasing to your Lord. So we have to change, as the minister has constantly reminded us, you know, to remove that old wineskin and become a new and improved person under the Lord. And this is what I had chosen to do for myself. You know, I had a mountain of rhymes. They were all gangster. And I got my shredder around the time that I joined the Nation. And I just took all the rhymes and I shredded them. I shredded them in the shredder.
Uh-huh.
I had movie scripts and I shredded them. And as I shredded them, there was a physical component as well as a spiritual component that I couldn't say it was anything other than a blessing, that I was healing physically as well as spiritually from shredding each one of those rhymes, because the B words were in there, the F words was in there, talking about things that we shouldn't have been doing, all of that, glorifying the so-called gangster life was all in there, and I shredded it. It took me a long time to start to write again. You know, I went through a series of writer blocks. Because after doing
right.
that, I was tearing myself down on the inside, the part that wasn't me. I wanted to be free. You know, I was a type of a believer in the beginning of my sojourn as a member of the Nation, which, where I'm celebrating my 19th year now, which also fell on the 19th part. Yeah, that's right. The 19th part of the minister's time and what must be done was on the week of May 16th, and that was my 19th year. And in the Nation.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was a blessing to know that, you know, that numbers are so significant, but that's another thing. But going back to the metamorphosis that I'm still engaged in, I was incredibly blessed, as I was the type of brother that would shout the minister's name out my window for hours. Like, you would have thought I was nuts, but I was cuckoo for Farrakhan. You know, and I would literally be out the window just saying, Farrakhan, Farrakhan, like on beat and hearing music in my mind and just, you know, just forcing myself to submit to the fact that Allah had chosen him, you know, and, you know, and that's how things got started, you know, pretty much, you know, and I'm thankful to Allah that my writer's block has been lifted. Some time ago, a brother named Brother Sherwood called me. He's the first officer in Brooklyn at the time. And he called me and he said, Brother Philip, I need you to do a video, because I'm also a video director. He said, I need you to do a video for an event that we're going to be honoring the modest women. It's a fashion show, and Martha and 7C was doing it. So I did the video and I said, wow, it's not enough. It needs rap. It needs the lyrics. And then my writer's block broke. And all of a sudden, I started to write, and that's when I posted a song called "The Universe," a universe of modest. Imagine a universe of modest women, featuring Minister Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
Farrakhan, that's on YouTube, doing very well and inspiring people. But the reason why I do it is because it doesn't matter if it gets out there to everybody. One thing about me you're gonna know is I'm not preaching to the choir. The work is out in the street. So right now, as we have this new single out called I Found Love, we are in a mode that I like to call Operation Fishhook. And it's incumbent upon everyone out there who's listening to help me secure this line. Not for myself, you know, but for what's in me that Allah is putting in me and all the positive rappers out there, you know, who are striving to be like the minister with the mic in our hand. You know, and
right.
us, you know, and we really need the believers to really like take it. And I'm not just saying it for myself, but any believer comes out with a record, man, you should be throwing it all over the place. Just imagine what would happen if, let's say, Sister Akila comes out with a song. She's an MGT,
mm-hmm.
and she's able to reach 50,000 sisters. And cause them to just change their ways overnight. Now, it can be done, but we need your wings. We need your wings to help us fly this great flight. It's a great distance to go that deep into the darkness. And without your wings, brothers and sisters, it makes it that much harder. But Allah don't need not one of us. It's going down, and that's Satan's world, and our world is going up. And we just need to be part of the synergy of peace, unity, love, and having fun, which is the true definition of hip-hop, as I echo the words of Afrika Bambaataa from the Soul Sonic Force and the leader of Zulu Nation. In my definition of hip-hop is highly intelligent people with hidden original powers, you know, because I say hidden because people just don't know what they're looking at when they see the black man. They don't know what they're looking at when they see any human being that wants to submit to God and what Allah can actually do through them, but in particular the original man and the original woman. And when you look at hip-hop, you're not looking at some genre of music. You're looking at resurrection in a rare form. You're looking at an embryo forming, and you're looking at talent that has been suppressed, that is finally finding a voice. And to know that somebody's oil slicking the ground around our baby so that when they come out and grab the mic, they fall into the hand of Satan, that bothers me.
Oh, yes, sir. And we're going to talk about that, Brother Philip, but hold on. Let me check the line. I think, let me see if this is Brother Jerry. Area code 713?
Okay.
No, it's area code. Yeah, you know what? It is. You there?
Okay, and who is this?
This is Brother Jerry Muhammad, ma'am.
Okay. Well, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam.
I'm glad we finally got you on the line. Okay,
yes,
Brother Jerry, stand by. We're talking to Brother Philip right now, but of
Absolutely.
Course you're going to be next, so just hang in there.
Absolutely.
Okay, Brother Philip. You know, I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask you too, Brother Jerry, since you're on the phone, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself before you give your answer. Brother Philip, when you say, you know, that our babies fall into the hands of Satan, and we look at all of these hip-hop artists, and I'm, you know, I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm not into hip-hop like that, so I'm just going to go by the ones I know, like T.I. and Ludacris and Lil Wayne and... what's his name? Rick Ross, all of these. Well, I don't know their names, but when we look at them and we look at the music that they are producing, you know, a lot of them, I remember N.W.A., and I grew up around the corner from O'Shea Jackson, who is known as Ice Cube, and he was not a thug at all. However, he was so believable in his rap music with N.W.A. and then, of course, his, you know, portrayal on film and things of that nature. But a lot of them are rapping this music and have no idea of what the life is. And then you have those that come from the life. But it appears to me, as time has gone on, that the music industry is really guiding the direction of our hip-hop artists. And I want to get your opinion on that, Brother Philip. What you think?
Well, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said it best when he said that we have to push our own artists because they're not going to give it to us. And what I saw on that was the fact that you have two worlds separated. So if you go into that world and you don't know who God is and you don't have the faith, it's inevitable that you're going to get swallowed up by the dragon. You know, and it's sad because I see things happening with various artists that started out with bubblegum music. You know, like you have Ciara out there. She's got this real sexually suggestive type of thing going on in this new music video. You know, I'm sure in her heart that's not something that she wants to do. But in order to get that top spot, what do you have to do? You know, now I would say this, brothers and sisters. You really can't judge anybody. You just got to pray for people like that, and you should reach out to them. I say, look, I could sit on the sidelines and say and point the finger at any one of these rappers. I could point the finger at Ciara. I could point the finger at Beyonce. I could point the finger at Keisha Cole. I could point the finger at all of these sisters. But Wouldn't I be a fool to forget that the messenger said 75% of the work is in the woman? I could point the finger at Lil Wayne. I could point the finger at Jay-Z. I could point the finger at Ice Cube. But would I be wise to do that when I know that the black man is God, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad? No. There will come a time when we will snatch those mics out of their hands. But as the day of mercy is in effect, and as we hold fast, holding true to the order of the universe, knowing that the minister is in charge, placed in charge by Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Muhammad, we have to be as he is and be merciful and be a guide, not by our mouths, but what we do. So when I came out with the record, recent one that's out right now, I Found Love, the structure of the song was basically to put a simple message out there to the youth that if you like her, put a ring on it. So when Beyonce came out with that, I thought that was real ingenious. But you see how she had to do it? She did it, but she had to shake a lot. She had to show a lot. But that seed was dropped out there. The good of what she did was greater than her bouncing, her shaking, her bootalicious and all of that. The good of what she did was put back in the conscience of the women out there that, hey, I'm worth a ring. More women, you know, that's a song that you could play at weddings, you know. Mm-hmm. And the positive of that song is what is extracted. A wise man once told me a long time ago, he said, you cannot feed a lion that is sick with a pill. You have to put the pill in the food that he is used to eating.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to watch and see how it is. Now, if you say you believe in the Son of Man, whether you believe he's Master Prophet Muhammad or not, which I know is Master Prophet Muhammad, but you got to look. He comes like a thief in the night. When Public Enemy came out, they came out. You thought they were drug dealers from Strong Island. They had an Oldsmobile talking about their car. They looked materialistic. They even used the B word.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because of Public Enemy that I was introduced to a son of man named the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that I would be sitting here to judge any one of them? I spoke to Lil Wayne personally maybe a week or two before he got locked up on a gun charge. And he teared over the words that we shared. Even though he was in a rebellious state, he teared over it. And someone that was in his home was angry at the fact that he was crying and tried to come at us, and Allah did something beautiful. Another FOY came along, and you know, and he didn't even know the conversation was going on, and it was happening online. And he came out, and he had posted something that said, the day will come when we will snatch you off of the stage for disrespecting the black woman. And that message went right to them as we were talking online. And I told brother, I said to Brother Wayne, I said to him, you know, right now there's a baby out there who's freezing, and their mothers got them in a stroller, and they're listening to your music.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because he told me, this is how the conversation started. I had asked him to make a donation to God's Water Entertainment. And I told him that the God's Water Entertainment movement was going to change the way for hip-hop was in its current state. He told me that he liked it the way it was. And you know I had to respond to that. You should know how I respond.
Wow.
Anyway, so we went in our little conversation, and before you know it, I told him, I said, look, why don't you be the Jesus? They done made you the king of hip-hop. Now you can flip it on it. But as soon as you drop a seed on one of those brothers, like the minister was talking today, and he said in the time and what must be done, I believe that was the number 26, he said, man, don't be a fool to think that they don't have a tab on everything you say on the internet.
Absolutely.
A week later, he got arrested on that gun charge.
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying that it was a direct result of the fact that a seed had been dropped that was that deep that he had, you know, I'm saying it's a strong possibility that they turned it up on him because he was probably thinking about doing what I had suggested. But only Allah knows, you know. But I say to this, the reason why I mention that is because we can't be pointing a finger at them and saying, oh, that's like you in the elevator
somewhere and it's piss on the floor and you complaining about it, but you're not calling, trying to find a security force like the Nation of Islam security to secure your building so that people don't piss in your elevator. Why don't you pick up the phone or get on the internet and email or write some of these artists and tell them how you feel instead of slack talking about them? Because that's what you're doing. They original people. They are your family. They just in this position of power that they do not know how to handle. And they're being used. They're slaves in a place that is dark and eerie. Beyonce tried to reach out to everybody, and she put a video out where she was literally crying. And she was just saying how messed up it is, but she couldn't really come out with it. But couldn't you read between the lines if that's your sister and she needed you? But I see a lot of brothers and sisters, they pointing fingers at her. But Allah got something for her. Allah's not finished with her. And Allah's not finished with Jay-Z. Did you not know that Jay-Z said in the song Red Renegade, Bow Tie Before I Die? A lot of y'all didn't even hear that. But go back to Renegades with him and Eminem. And you listen to it. He says, Bow Tie Before I Die. Then Eminem drops some Christianity talk after that. But you got to know that in these brothers and sisters' hearts is a little savior that's trying to reach out. They see the likeness of themselves when they see you. They feel your spirit, and they have the agility and ability to tune in on the thinking. The problem is they do not know the reality of God in them. They are fearful of the enemy and what the enemy can do. And if you look down the line of stars that we grew up with, they're dying. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the stars will fall from the sky. That meant literal and spiritual. When you see Whitney gone, Michael gone, Luther gone, the list goes on. And I don't want to go too far into it because I might cry. These stars are not falling because of some sickness. You know, it should be investigated, and we wouldn't be surprised to know that the majority of these cases may have been murder.
Absolutely.
And we're looking at it on the surface. You might as well. Yeah, I would. It's safe to say all of them may have been murdered. But in particular, Whitney Houston. In particular, Michael Jackson. And what happened of sister, what's her name? Jennifer Hudson's family. That was extremely questionable. But, you know, we thank Allah because as a Muslim, as a believer, we should be walking with this type of faith and the spirit that says there's a God. And that smile should be on your face in the face of adversity, knowing that underneath it all is the will of Allah. And when people see that, they're attracted to the power. And if the power is represented with intelligence by way of your actions, then you have the power to save. You become a savior in training before their eyes. And they'll say amazing things, but you should always, always point your fingers to direct them to the Son of Man, Master Prophet Muhammad, and the line that is represented, which starts with the minister and goes right through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to Master Prophet Muhammad himself. These are living people who we represent, and this is how we should represent in any corner of life. So when you see a brother and sister striving to represent, grab a microphone, what we need is your advice, we need your prayers, and we need you to secure that line because we're not there just to play around. You know, a lot of us who have this ability to reach people have been tested greatly. I'm one who can say that Allah has truly put me through some major trials, not just one or two, you know. But that's not to say anything other than, you know, we need your support. We really do. You know, that brother problem 13. Oh, man. I had to blow the smoke after you played that. I mean, it was smoke all over the place.
He is the godfather of Young Gifted and Black.
Yeah, he is the bomb. You know, I love that brother, you know. But when you hear Problem 13, it reminds you of MC Ren. It reminds you of Rakim. It reminds you of all the poor righteous teachers and, you know, all those positive rappers wrapped up in one, you know. And I really appreciate listening to Problem 13. I think he's one of the best rappers in the nation right now coming out. you know. And but we have to remember, brothers and sisters, that we need to encourage each other to go deeper, because it's not about preaching to the choir. You know, it's all right to entertain us. You know, that's great. But we really need our own record company.
That's
we
right.
need our own initiatives where it comes to this resurrection business, following the example of our minister. And we need each other to wake up. And, you know, like we had a hookup the other day, and we were reminded by our student secretary, National Secretary Brother Burby, we were reminded of the importance of supporting our school. And there was some students who needed to go to a national competition and needed money to be raised. But let me just say this to you, brothers and sisters. With all the talent we have in the nation, why don't we back the artists to jump into these grand contests like America's Got Talent and all these other ones where thousands of dollars is up? And if we back them and we all voted for them, they would win automatically. This is how a nation proves that it's alive. This is how you send a message to your enemy that we are here to stay. And this is how you send a message to the youth that you can do it, and we're going to help you. And this is how you attract your people. This is the work. But when your people don't see you even supporting your own, how could you come out with a final call and say, brother, would you like this final call newspaper? No, they want to see unity, man.
That's right.
Show them something.
That's right.
Then you can sell yourself, and they will gladly give you whatever you need for that paper. Because they'll want to read it, because they want that unity. And the youth, as I've always said, the youth will stand up when they see the elderly standing up.
That's right.
They only standing up because there's no example. Minister Farrakhan's one man. He don't need to come on a talk show or any other medium to remind us of our duty. That's like holidays. Holidays remind you that it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day is every day. Father's Day is every day. Every day is a Savior's Day, because every day there's people dying. Every day there's children suffering. So why? Why do we have to wait for somebody to give us marching orders when our feet are hurting from this devilish, this slick that's on the floor?
Mm-hmm.
You ever tried to walk on oil? It hurts your ankles. It hurts to even walk a little bit. After a while, it's pain. That's how these children feel when they go to these schools. They want to get there, but they don't want to get there on that oil slick ground where the soot is all Satan's waste, and they treat them like they're garbage by teaching them to hate themselves in a slick. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? In a slick and very cunning way and manner. And then the children come back and they tell you what they've learned by showing you that they have been altered. They don't necessarily say, oh, the teacher said this, but it comes out in their ways. And then you have to fix it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the importance of music. Let me tell you something else about music, brothers and sisters. Some of y'all, even some of you who are wearing bow ties and covering your hair, you listen to too much negative music. And did you not know that music can actually change your DNA? That the information that is encoded in your DNA can actually be altered if you continue to listen to negative music?
Absolutely.
Sound, scientists have recently discovered that they can actually change the coding of DNA through sound waves. And I remember Brother Nuria talked about a scientist, I believe it was a Japanese scientist, who had who was measuring the activity of water molecules as it was responding to rock music and then classical music. And when classical music was on, the molecules actually lined up. And when rock music was on, where they were talking about acid and whatever they screaming about, all of the molecules became disjointed and disoriented. Well, that same effect is happening on the inside of your body when you're listening to negative rap music all day. Mm-hmm. When you listen to somebody using B words and N words and the music is too loud, it's altering your chemistry. It's changing the way you look. It's destroying your beauty on the inside and on the out. So when you go to children and you try to talk to them about hip hop, you got to study to go deeper than just say, oh, that's a bad word, don't say that. That's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
These youth are intelligent. They were born to answer our prayers. They are the answer of our prayers. So you got to do a little bit more studying. And that's what I love about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is because he encourages us to study. And until, before I actually, when I joined the Nation of Islam, I didn't even know what it was to really go deep into a book. I think I went into the autobiography of Malcolm X for a minute, and I was blessed to be met by some very beautiful people who I would say were angels, and they guided me from second grade on up to today. People have come into my life that I know was sent by Mashallah Muhammad. And I want to say this to you, brothers and sisters. Go back into your life. Go back into your life and try to see which of the people you met was sent by Mashallah Muhammad for you. Because, brothers and sisters, if you go back into your life to the people who you may have overlooked, you will find that Allah was always with you. He never, ever left you. From the day you were born and even beyond, he was there, and he was caring for you, and he was watching your back. Let me tell you a story to just show and prove. One day I saw a brother, and I believe I may have been 11 years old or 10, and we were in school. Maybe 12 years old or so, I'm not sure. But anyway, we were in school, and we hated each other on sight. It was self-hate. We just looked at each other, never even introduced each other, hated each other. Well, after a few days of walking around this guy, and he's hating me and I'm hating him, one day I'm walking home from a daycare center that I used to go to. And this experience was amazing. All I know is my body moved as I was walking home on a rocky ground. My body moved and slid, and as soon as it did that, a rock went past my face that was about the size of maybe half of my head. And it went past my nose so close that I felt the wind blow. And when I looked to see where the rock came, the boy was behind me, and he was shocked that I moved. Now, think about it. I was walking home, and I just moved. What moved me? What saved my life? Or rather, who? And when I turned around, I was so shocked because we were expert rock throwers back then. We used to throw rocks at each other for fun at close quarters. We were like, as Malcolm used to say, we were just natural-born warriors. and that's how we were. So I knew he would have killed me. So I turned around, and this rock went past me, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we were in shock. He was in shock to see what had happened because he saw it from his vantage point, and I was shocked to see that I averted death by Allah's grace. And then we looked at each other, but the hate went away. The hate went away because that divine occurrence caused us to fall in love with the unseen reality, and that's God.
Mm-hmm.
That unseen reality was with each and every one of you. You just have to believe enough to sift through your history and even immediate history. Never overlook who you're talking to, because you could be entertaining angels. And never, ever, ever doubt that Allah is with you. We live in the darkest period of time that ever was, brothers and sisters. But you're here. And that means something. And if you don't believe that, then I have to check your head for that. Because when we grab the microphone and we get on the rostrum and we talk, and we're good at talking, what does it mean if you ain't doing it when you come out your house and you see that little brother on that bench and his head is down? And then you go to the mosque, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's vanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you don't believe that God came for you, that you want to be sitting in front of acting like God is with you in the mosque, but when you outside, your head is down, that you don't feel that you got enough in you to lift another brother head up, all you have to do is say peace to the brother.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, black man. If that was all you said, and I remember the minister said that to us, he said, just say peace to him if you can't say nothing. If you feel that trepidation in your heart, say peace to them. It's easy. Say peace. Just say peace, brother. Peace, and get it started.
Mm-hmm.
Get it started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another thing that helps, and that helped me get out of my writer's block. I learned this from some of the folks, or I was reminded of this from some of the folks at Dianetics. And I started touching my microphone, just touching it. You know, every day I put my hand on my mic. Every day I put my hand on the pen, and even though it was hard for me to write, I was able to actually eventually write, and all it took was a brother who believed in me to give me a call, and his name is Brother Sherwood. I'll never forget it. And he asked me to write that song. And after years of writer's block, I wrote a song. And that's from the love, man. So when you believe in yourself, you'd be surprised who you can help and who you can save out there. So when one of us, any one of us, brothers and sisters, gets on a microphone and with the intent to mirror the works of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan Muhammad, or mirror the works of Mother Tynetta Muhammad or Sister Ava Muhammad, and mirror the works of those who you know have been anointed to save us and to help us to become saviors in training, then we got to back them like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said, when a man is or a person is speaking the truth, you should stand and back them. Brothers and sisters want to get out there into these streets, but there's nobody backing them.
Mm-hmm.
We are the FOY and the MGT. We are the security of the first world.
Mm-hmm.
We are the security of our people. When somebody stands up, we're supposed to back them. Brother Kenny, Muhammad, and I was on a train one day. A sister went off on this man who just felt like singing. And then this other brother stood up and started teaching. And the sister started cursing him out. But no, Brother Kenny and I backed that man. So the sister hushed her mouth, and we said, go ahead, brother. And he started teaching. And before you know it, he became a minister on the train.
Hmm.
And but this is what you could do. Now, if you back me, and if you back Problem 13, imagine how much work we would be able to do. Our nation would never fall, but we need you. And I'm saying this on behalf of all of the entertainment professionals and those who are even amateur in our nation, and not only limited to our nation, but in every organization that has positive roots. I don't care if you're Rastafarian, I don't care what your religion is, but if you got a microphone and you're pointing people to God, we should back you.
That's right.
Because that's the will of Allah.
That's right.
And with all of
yes,
our power together, we will move mountains. And like the messenger said about the prayer that we're supposed to be saying seven times a day, thou seek thy refuge prayer, the independence prayer, we will have that devil wrapped around the finger from the inside out as if he wasn't even there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, Brother Philip. Wow. I almost forgot my question, but all praise is due to Allah. Only thing I want to know from you is that when you going to start teaching at the mosque so I can make a trip out to New York just for that?
Well, you know, when it comes to something like that, the people have to demand it.
Okay, well, I'm signing up, and I'm pretty sure everybody on the line is signing up for that one. But that was a magnificent
yeah,
answer, beloved.
I'm not the type that get out there and try to, you know, I'm just a brother. So if there's something that you would like to see, then it's upon you to be the wing beneath our wings. Blow it. Blow it, and I guarantee
right.
you're going to see something happen, you know. That baby plane just flew away.
Oh, my goodness. Did you get it on video? Because I'm going to tell you, if y'all don't know
no.
Brother Philip has actual footage of the mother planes and the baby planes, and he has so graciously shared them with us. So, Brother Philip, before we go, I want you to give out your YouTube channel so that they can see some of your videos. But right now, we're going to allow Brother Jerry, better known as Muhammad 2G, to come down front and center. Yes, I'm going to play your song. It's not over with yet.
All right.
We want you to come down front and center, soldier, and introduce yourself.
Yes, yes, okay.
Okay. Were you talking about me, sister?
Yes, sir, Brother Jared. Did I have to call you Brother Jared? Did you forget your name was Muhammad 2G?
No, you know, you're trying to be funny already, huh? No, it's okay. Yes, this
sir.
Is Brother Jerry Muhammad, a.k.a. Muhammad 2G. And I'm just like our brother just said, our beautiful brother. I love your spirit, bro.
Praise be to Allah.
Just said that he's just your brother. That's all I am. So you might have just said Brother Jerry, and I'd have been cool. You know what I mean? But
yes,
by
sir.
Allah's grace, I was given that name by one of the artists I was working with years ago. And so I've been wearing it, you know, professionally, and I still don't know what the 2G mean, but I just, you know, I do what I do. So praise you so much. Yes, ma'am. It's great to speak with everyone here or you know, to be a part of the interview, and appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, you know, I'm not in Houston, but I'm still in Texas, and I'm definitely not going to let my family from my 45 think that I have forgotten them. I have not. My 45 is my second mouse home or my third mouse home, and so I have a great love for all of you, and, of course, through the minister, Robert Muhammad, who was just on my show on Thursday, you know, that's my home. Now, I've been in Texas for 30 years, so it's home to me. And so, Brother Jerry, I'm going to ask you about your outlook or your opinion on the direction of hip-hop music, and then we're going to go and we're going to listen to some music from, of course, the both of you. So what is your take on the direction that a lot of the artists are going in now?
Well, first of all, I want to say assalamu alaikum to all the listeners, and to go ahead and go and answer your question. How I see it is the direction that it's going is the direction that those in power over the music industry are making it go, and it's usually in their favor. However, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. But just to answer your question in short, or to be brief, it's that way. You know, it's the way that the people that are in power are publishers, record labels, distributors, different parts of the record industry, which are owned by all companies. You know, people in the stock market. It's different corporations that have a big hand in the music industry. So on our scale of understanding the music industry, we understand it from the pedestal. You know what I mean? We don't see what is holding that pedestal up usually. So I say that to say that the direction that is going is that we are empowering corporations. And that's the way that it's designed. That's the way that once they got a hold to rap and what it could do, they began to control it. You know what I mean? That, you know, as we are taught, the universe, that by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that motion is first. And then after that, you organize. You know what I mean? And so the music industry was exactly that way, that it was a creative force that began, the motion of that creative force began, and then there were people with business like minds that understood organization that basically inserted themselves into our creativity, organized it, and now, you know, that's what you have. So we empower corporations and keeping that machine going. And if you don't understand business, then it's very difficult to understand the direction. You know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
So I'm getting around to it, the finish and the answer. But
no, take it down.
Yes, ma'am. Basically, you know, in business, you're in it to make money, you know, and that's just the bottom line to it. And the unfortunate part of this is it doesn't matter what the product is. If there's a demand for it, then there is somebody that has to supply it. So the people that supply it aren't necessarily the creators of it, you know. And we can get into the spiritual aspect of it, but I think that a primitive understanding of it is business. That's the most primitive understanding of how this thing works. And ultimately, you have corporations that they want to stay in control, and they control creativity. So you have black people who are the most creative people on the planet, and
right. They
create out of their DNA. You know what I mean? It just happens. It's not,
right.
You know. So on accident, you can create, you know what I mean, when you're the original people. And we just happen to be those people. And the people that are not, since we are mentally dead, spiritually dead, since we are dead, we have no competition. We don't compete with a business-like mind or with a mathematical mind. And those in power,
uh-huh.
They have those types of minds. They don't necessarily have the creative mind, but they do have the business mind. And I'm going to just give you a good example of something that I experienced a few days ago. I'm sitting there watching, it was an interview with Jay-Z, some interviewer, and Warren Buffett. And as we all know, or a lot of people know, that Warren Buffett is a great financial mind and is very important to this nation, so to speak, as a guru, a financial guru, so to speak. And on the creative side, you have Jay-Z, who is like one of the top music little gods in our industry, or in the industry that we know of, I should say. And he's also proven himself financially as well. So I'm sitting there listening to the interview, and the interviewer was asking questions. First he asked of Warren, you know, how he was, how he got into finance and all that type of stuff. And he explained that it was in his lineage, basically. His father was an investment banker, and that he picked up a book when he was 7, and, you know, that type of thing. So it was basically, it was in his line of for him to learn or for him to pick up. And Jay-Z, not so much. So when the question got over to Jay-Z, it's something that just hit me, and I was just like, wow, this man started his question, finished his question, and it all was on the line of finance. And Jay-Z was given the same type of questioning, a line of questioning, and he had two answers. And the first was about the financial side, that, of course, it started illegally, and that he branched off and got into a more legitimate way of making his money. However, it was through creativity. And it just hit me. I was just like, wow, you know. So we sitting here revering the people that run this world for their financial mind or them being in a position of financial power. And Jay-Z is sitting here with both. He has the ability, and it was based on what he explained. He was explaining how he gets his creative mind started. He said that he would have to disconnect from his business mind and go into the studio and just become that person to do that creative side, which I have a lot of I understand that very well, because that's how I have to do as well as a producer, artist, engineer, blah, 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 and as many other artists I'm sure share as well. But either way, this brother sitting there with both. He got both sides, the creative side on lock and the business side on lock. And Warren Buffett is sitting here with basically the financial side. He was saying that, hey, it wasn't rocket science. I just picked up the book, and it was in my blood, you know what I mean, to do finance.
Uh-huh.
So this falls right into the line of what me as a producer, I would love to teach. I teach it to all the people that I mentor, but that as creative people, we definitely have to learn how to organize. We definitely have to learn how to tame our creativity, how to get some benefit out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because there's other people that have learned how to do so, and they are the ones who control the direction of the music industry. So right. I'm getting around to that part of the question, is that we could control the music industry. However, we don't understand the dynamics of business, and so it puts us in the lap of those who do understand mathematics and science. They, as Brother was just explaining, with sound, there is a science behind even making a track, you know. And when I approach a track, for instance, and use an 808 drum, I know what it's going to do to the chakras. I know what it's going to do when I use this instrument or that instrument and put them together, and it has a sweet sound to the ear. I know what it's going to do. You know, so I say that to say that you have to understand that there's so much more to that direction or who controls or steers this vehicle called the music industry. And at this time, the corporations control it. They have the ability to put artists under a 360 deal, which is pretty new or fairly new to the industry. And what it does is it basically says to the artist that, hey, we don't have to you don't have to or you're not in control. Just put it this way. Just get in the car and we roll it. You know what I mean? I'm driving, and it's obvious. I'm driving, and you're going to forever be able to ride in this vehicle. So everybody else.
They relinquish their creative control.
That's correct. That's correct. And we're going to tell you what we want you to put out. You can go record as many songs as you want, but as long as you're in this vehicle, then we decide what it is, what streets we turn on. So, and because we have the power to shut your creativity off or on because you're with us, you've decided to be with us, then we have control over what streets we hit. You know what I mean? We have that control. So that's just a little simplified way of breaking down how the 360 deal is without going all into it. But for the person that that doesn't understand the industry, how it works, it's the people that we see with the Gillette commercial, or they might be on an AutoZone commercial and be an artist. Well, that's how that happens, because it doesn't matter about the music anymore. That's not what brings in the money any longer. They've destroyed the fabric of music and its ability to bring in finance now. It's destroyed, and how they destroyed it is basically by putting out garbage, so much garbage that the people just refuse to pay for it. And so now they found another, the wheels and fell off of that. So now they have gotten into endorsements, you know, and really using those. And because we're financially strapped personally as artists, we feel like, oh, well, hey, that'll be fine. You know what I mean? We're not trying to use our creativity to fuel the people one direction or another any longer as single artists. So bottom line to it is the corporations steer the industry, unfortunately. But I do see that there is a movement of those of us who are sick of it, and we would rather disconnect from the industry as is to create our own. And it's inevitable. It's rolling, and it won't stop. It won't stop until it happens. And that's basically what's happening right now, is that those who are followers, those who are weak in their minds or whatnot, they're out here. They'll roll with the wagon as is, and the music industry will fall soon. However, there will be a replacement for that, and that's what us as brothers and sisters represent. And if we don't do it, then the people won't have anything to move over to. Even the artists, when the flood comes, they'll be flooded. You know what I mean? And if we're, what we're trying to do is build an ark, and I believe that's in the heart and the mind of each and every believing artist that really wants the best for their people. They're trying to build an ark. However, like Brother just said, we haven't come together and really made it a reality. So, honestly, we come together and we put our little records together, and then we want our support. However, we still don't have an infrastructure that competes with, but the unity that he spoke of, the unity that he spoke of is our infrastructure, or the beginning of that infrastructure, where we can compete with an industry that's out here today. And then we don't have to hand our children over, because I have a 19-year-old son, for instance. He's a great producer, and he is a producer in his DNA. That's the first thing. And when I listen to his music, he doesn't have the music theory, or he doesn't have the understanding of what he's doing. It's in him, and he has the drive to do it. However, he doesn't know, you know, the instruments, the all of the sounds and everything. However, at the same time, he's looking for a way into the industry because that's the only one that exists to him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make me feel good as a father. That doesn't make me feel good as a artist or as an insider of a music industry, one that doesn't have an infrastructure, because then you have to sell your children over whatever exists, you know?
Right.
So basically, to answer your question, I believe the direction is where the people are not involved, you know, in the industry, it's going that direction, you know, where we're basically handing it over, and our children are along in that basket, you know, and it's sad. Unless we build our own industry, then we'll soon see a lot of ruin, and it's only written. It's written. But there is also written that there'll be a new industry. There'll be a new mindset, and this just has to happen. You know what I mean? It ain't like it's going to come to a halt, and then we're going to build a new. No, it's going to be destroyed. It'll fall, and we just have to be those ready to build the new thing. And while theirs is coming to a halt, I know I'm working to build something different. However, I won't make a dent into this thing if I don't come together with other like minds to do such a thing to change the industry.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Derek. And before we play music now, we have a question or a comment on the phone. So area code 818, can I get your question or your comment?
How you doing? My name is Kermit. I put my contact information, by the way, in your chat room. I've been in the music business for 40 years. 2013 was my 40th year. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
and what immediately caught my attention was your first speaker was talking about beatboxing. And back in the day, I actually managed a guy named Earl Holloman, who was the beatbox champ, I think, in 1988 up in New York at the New Music Seminar. And I was one of the people about him. But also, I just want to say, like a lot of the stuff you were talking about today, I pretty much know about it, you know, from being around for 40 years and seeing every side of everything. I thought about the 360 deal in February 2008. I actually helped an artist get a 360 deal in 2009. Pretty much all about the industry. I do distribution. I have a current distribution deal through Ingrooves Fontana Universal Music Group, but I also work with independent distribution as well, which is what I've done most of my life. And that's basically it. Also, I have over 200 gold and platinum records. And, you know, just been around doing my thing. Like I said, all my contact information is in your chat room. That's about it. So if anybody want to contact me, the information is there. And I appreciate your time.
Okay, well, Kermit, do me a favor, because there are some people in the chat room, but also they're on the phone. So if you would, give them one of your websites that they can either go to and look
okay,
at your work.
The easiest place to contact me originally is on Facebook right now, and I have two pages. So one page is my name, Kermit, K-E-R-M-I-T Henderson. So it's Facebook / Kermit, K-E-R-M-I-T Henderson, and my other one is Facebook/Superstar Maker. But my website is easy as well. My website is WeMakeSuperstars.com, just the way it sounds. WeMakeSuperstars, plural, .com. WeMakeSuperstars.com, so that's the way to get me. My email is superstarmaker@gmail.com.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much, Brother Kermit.
Welcome.
We'll be in touch.
All right.
All right. Okay. So now we're going to go to some music, and I'm gonna start with Brother Philip. Brother Philip,
yeah.
I watched that video,
uh-huh.
and I listened to that song, and, you know, it's very seldom that you find a song that kind of reminds you of all genres of music. I mean, it reminded me of R&B, it reminded me of jazz, it took me back to my time, which I'm not telling my age, but my time back in the early 70s, and you just kind of went everywhere with this music. But I want to know, what was your motivation for the song?
Well, the song in its root began, it has a serious history, starting way back with the first producer who introduced a similar version to me before I had the writer's block. And when I came out of the writer's block, that producer became very strange in that he would not reveal to me his real name and became very shady. So then I contacted Chris Muhammad, also known as Chris Hudworth, and I asked him to do it over, make a different version, something different, and hook it up. And so he did what
uh-huh.
he could, and I guided him as to how I wanted it to go. And then he added his little part to it, and then I added my own beatbox to one of the breaks. And so it became a beautiful piece. The lyrics came out of a potential courtship that didn't go too well, but it was something that was really something that was budding, and I took the little feeling that I had of possibly finding my queen, and I wrote a song as if I did. So I pretty much filled in all the blanks. Yeah.
And tell me, who is Sinistar? Who is that?
The name Sinistar evolved from, it's basically, it was my rebirth. And I had actually, and originally, my first name in the industry was MC King. I think at the age of 12, I named myself that. And I named myself after another MC that I knew. He was one of the flyest brothers I knew back then when I was 12 years old. And he called himself MC King, and I just took his name. But anyway, I didn't know any better, you know. And then after a while, I changed my name to Sinsonic after I became this beatbox. And there was a Sinsonic drum out there. And Sinsonic drum came out, and I was already doing a sound like it. So when that drum came out, it was like a blessing because I was already doing that sound with my mouth. The drum machine comes out, it's like free publicity. So I just changed my name to Sinsonic, but I put an E instead of a Y, as they spelled it, and I became very popular. When I went into spiritual death, I took Sinsonic died, meaning I stopped beatboxing, my talent, I kind of put it away, and I started living a beast life. And that's when I got into my teenage life and went further into so-called gangsterism. And I was just basically spiritually dead. At that point, I was called Sen Son, S-E-N-S-O-N, and people on the streets used to just call me Sen. People that didn't know that side of me still called me Bebop Phil. But Bebop Phil had died. That was another name of mine. But as I came into the Nation of Islam and started to evolve, and when the messenger told us what a real star was, he said that a star is a witness bearer. He said that our people put the stars out there. It blew my mind. A black man made the stars, and that just stuck in my head. It changed my whole perspective as it relates to what a star of this world is. So I stopped looking at all of these entertainers as stars. I was a very good basketball player as well. But when I saw a mouse,
take a little ball and dunk it after a scientist taught the mouse how to do it, I didn't want to play basketball anymore. Because I realized that it was all that. And the way we had idolized some of these rappers and singers, it gave the reason why the stars had to fall. Because we idolized them. We basically worshiped them, and even if we didn't know it, because when they passed, when they stopped writing and singing, you know, that's when it really hurt. And you realize, wow, why am I so caught up into this dude? He's just a singer, but no, in a sense, he was a god to you. So I realized that, no, after the messenger taught us that a real star is one who bears witness to God. And as I further and do the analysis, that becomes one who is activated in God. And then you become a guiding light to the people. And that's what Center Star is basically striving to be as a savior in training. And so a Center Star means a star sent, one who is sent as a witness bearer.
Okay. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And we're now going to hear Brother Philip's song, I Found Love. So here we go.
Look, when I saw you, I felt as if, you know, we didn't reinvent the wheel, but it was like love didn't exist before I actually saw you. You know what I mean? And what I'm trying to say is, you know, if it's all right with you, I'd like to meet your father, you know, so I can have a talk with him. But before we do that, I just want to let you know, my name is Sinistar. Yeah. Yo, you know what it is. You just don't want to touch her because she's so beautiful. And you don't want to mess it up because you want to marry her. And, you know, you're trying to be nice. And you just don't want to mess it up because she's so beautiful. And, well, you know. So listen up, baby. Come on. You can tell it's New York swag. See the burn up?
What?
My neck like back in the day. Let me search him. It's all right. I can drive this all night. And take your body past the red light. Throw that confetti off the trunk tower. Baby, we getting married in the guard hour. It's even deeper than you thought it was. Now that I'm looking at you, you the boss. Now everybody's talking about us, cause we black and beautiful and marriage is a miracle. And the real thing is you, my black woman. I think I get that ring, cause I got cash coming. Blessings on the rise, cause you all right. I help us to be like peace, God, no fight. You know what it is, you really wanna, but you just don't wanna touch it, cause you don't wanna mess it up, cause you really love her and she's so beautiful and it's just tough cause, you know, you used to play that role and you know it's a whole new game when you really love her cause it's just love cause that's just the way it is. Let me just show you. Imagine us swimming up the coastline in Puerto Rico or Maui coastline. I'ma treat you like the best baby, cause you the best for the best baby. Let me take your coat, let it rest baby. While we wind and dine, perfect dress baby. And compliment your eyeshadow. And you ain't got no makeup on eyeshadow.
Yo, hold up, I ain't touching that one. It's the moonlight or something, right?
Yo, turn up my mic. This is serious. This girl is the best of my life. No offense to all my exes, but she got it right. So manifest your power. Cook me something from scratch. Use that wheat flour and make some ice cream to match. Please, baby. And
you know you drive me crazy.
And your lips got me amazing. Feeling dizzy like a newborn baby. Come and claim what's yours. I'm your cash, baby. Perfect match, baby. We in love. I'm looking in your eye. Ain't nobody but us. Ain't nothing like a beautiful woman you can trust to activate the God, and God we trust. I'm incredibly thankful. Ain't no rush out to see you. And if you step to my woman, let's believe I'm a slave. Yeah. I'm Center Star. And you know I found God.
Those eyes, baby.
Know what I'm saying? You just don't wanna do nothing wrong, cause she's so special and she's so beautiful cause when she came it was like you didn't know it was coming but it arrived in a beautiful box and
It was so beautiful. You just didn't want to get a rapping, so you took your time, and I just wanted to make sure she was always happy, so you kept your smile on and you kept it smooth. Thank you for listening. You know what it is, God's water.
That track is hot. That track
Thank
is
you.
Hot, Brother Phillip.
That's crazy due to Allah. But I would be remiss
I
if I didn't tell
it.
You.
I love it. It's
Thank
so
you
different.
So much. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. All
praises
due to Allah.
Allah Akbar. To all the listeners, the sister that's singing is actually the legendary Phyllis Hyman. That song originally was from her. And I just want to thank Allah for her soulful spirit. And I just feel great that I was able to actually give her an extension, as Allah has granted us an extension in this universe, and to bring her back out. It's an honor to do this record with her in this way. And all the voices that you heard on the track, the singing, the beatboxing, was me, except for her.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and how we miss Miss Phyllis Hyman, who also died under mysterious circumstances, man.
Yes,
it's just sad
yes.
when we think about
yes.
how many have gone under these odd circumstances, for the lack of a better expression. But we know that Allah is God, and all will be revealed in His time. Okay, now we're going to hear from Brother Jerry. And Brother Jerry, now this song I found from you, let me see, what's the name of it now? Hold on, I'm getting old. It says, it's Don't Go Nowhere.
Don't You Go Nowhere, yes, ma'am.
Don't You Go Nowhere. Okay, who you talking to? You talking to my queen, Sister Samika?
Well, yes and no, yes, ma'am. To be honest with you, how
I'm
that came
about. I'm
trying
to save you here, brother. You better be talking about her.
Absolutely, sister. Hey, what kind of question is that?
Oh, boy, here we
Shoot.
Go. Here we go.
Shoot,
Watch
you going to put me on blast like that, sister? Ain't no
hey,
way.
Hey,
I was.
It's an MGT thing. It's an MGT thing. That's my
yes,
sister.
Yes,
you know,
I remember when she came
sister.
In the mosque.
Yes,
I got
ma'am.
To look out for my queens.
That's right.
I
That's
you.
Right.
I ain't mad at you.
But look, you can't look out at, after before me now.
Oh, okay. Yes,
Dude.
Sir.
Yes,
I'm in check.
All right. Nah. Yeah.
Yes,
well, yeah, that song, it actually was it was something that I wanted to prove. I think I put it up as a post on Facebook recently. And it was our good brother, Reuben Muhammad, that inspired me to do that song. And he inspired me not only to do that song, but inspired me to prove that Islam could be used as a tool in our industry, in the music industry, because it was being used as a tool to tear us down. And that was back in 2001. But it took a while for that seed to germinate. And simply... I went to the root. When you listen to the song and you hear me in the beginning, I'm talking about the mothers of the music industry, which are producers. Those are those of us who sit behind the closed doors and, you know, you have to put together what people hear, what the 3 or 4 minute excerpt of music that people listen to, we may put 24 hours into. We may put more. Hours into, you know, so we are the ones who get to hear it from its beginning to, you know, like when I hear Don't You Go Nowhere, it's I remember the day I made it, I remember everything about it, and I was blessed to even be able to say that. It's nothing like a child, you know, but in the music, it's almost like you are God, because you get to see it from its very beginning. So I say that to say that it's a love song, and the song or the music is basically saying, "Don't you go nowhere." And essentially, I'm really even talking about purpose. Your purpose is telling you, "Don't you go nowhere." So my purpose as a tool for God's use in this world is music. I feel like that's what I was called to do, even though there's a spiritual side to it that is connected to the music that I've been blessed to learn over 19 years, and this will be my 20th. Let me see. Yeah, this will make 20 years this summer, December. I'm sorry. So anyway, of my sojourn in the Nation of Islam. However, yes, ma'am. The song "Don't You Go Nowhere" is really just a love song, and it's me basically. The music is what's saying, "Don't you go nowhere." Without me forever. Why? Because I left the industry because I was like, man, look, we going to do this thing. We going to clean up this music industry. But I got to leave it. I got to go do this. I got to go do that and get the money that we need so that I could bring it back and we can be as powerful as we need. That's how my heart is made. So that was the whole thing. However, what I learned is there's a balance to it. You can't just leave it, you know what I mean, and go get it and come back. It ain't designed like that. The music will call your name no matter where you are. If it's in your blood to do it or to be one of those who have a net, so to speak, we have some that have a rod, but those of us who have a net are been blessed to have a net and to be able to attract many people using the vehicle of music, then you can't leave. You know what I mean? You can't leave like the minister. The minister left it, and because he understood the command. However, he's doing music. It's in him. It's gonna come back where you can use it. So it was stripped from him at a time where he couldn't use it until he understood how he could use it. And so that's how we all pretty much are put in. So that's what the song all about without me going any further. So y'all enjoy.
Yes, sir. And you know, before we play that song, and it's just so amazing that you said this song was inspired by Brother Reuben. And I'm gonna share something with you that I've never shared before about Brother Reuben. I remember him putting up a post before he transitioned, saying, or even it was on the show. We did a show here on a Sunday, and it was. I think it was January the 12th, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that. And he had explained to us that he had received his diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, I think he said December the 11th. And then it was, I might be getting my dates mixed up, but anyway, I think they told him, I think it was April 11th, and then January the 11th, they told him that they couldn't no longer do anything for him. And so as he gave his story during that two-hour broadcast, I called him afterwards to thank him because I didn't have any intention on him being on because I knew he was ill. And it was so surprising that he came on and that he stayed the duration of the show. Yeah. And so I called him to thank him, and I said, Brother Reuben, I said, I know you say number 11 is a bad number for you. I say, so now we're going to have to just set our trajectories to go past the 11, and we're going to get the good news. And so, ironically, Brother Reuben turned 45 years old this past March 1st, and my dear brother from Miles 45, who I remember, oh, God, this you can never forget that smile, he transitioned on the 12th. And so he was determined to make it past the 11th. So all praise is due to Allah. May Allah be pleased with our dear brother. And he's fought the good fight and he stayed the course. So, okay, I'm not going to get emotional. So here we go. Muhammad 2G, don't you go nowhere.
Yeah. Muhammad 2G. Black Hank, D.A.L., well, yeah, I want to dedicate this song to all the mothers of the music industry, the producers, don't go nowhere.
Anyway, but it's just my little sneaky way of doing things. But one of the rules for coming on Young, Gifted, and Black is that at the end of each show, each artist has to do a freestyle. So, Brother Phillip, what you gonna do? You gonna rap? You gonna sing? Or you gonna beatbox? What you gonna give us? You gonna give us
something for you? You got your tentacles on righteous people. Mexicans, Indians, Puerto Rican power plunging, and you're dissing poor whites, right? Regardless, I'm going to show you how I see it. Read your mind, make you believe it. Pull your skirt off at the Freaknik. Got half a Satan in my trunk. Dead disciples in my garbage back home. A velvet Corvette and a mic made of chrome. My world is sick at both sides, yeah. Give your mama TV, release the coroner, and walk towards me. And take this bath of silver bullets, my lyrics, they anaconda. Spirit, the Farrakhana. You know, it's like, you saw this. What's her name? Sarah Fawcett, wearing Prada. That means, you know, that's just a little freestyle. I'm about to slip. But praise be to Allah. I'm going in deep and I'm messed up, but that's freestyle.
Like that.
That's how it is. You know, but man,
I like that. Okay, Brother Jerry.
All I can say, Sister, Lord have mercy, this would be that kind of test, huh? Like, boy, you find, look, now, I don't know if y'all know, but I'm an older cat. I'm 39 years old. You know what I mean? The mind don't work like it should
please.
No
I'm
more.
Older than you.
Yeah,
I'm like children
on the reserve power day. That's all right, though.
Yeah, you know, and so my mind all over the place. Now you asking me to freestyle. You know, I'm a very premeditated type of artist. So I sit down and I write mine. You know what I mean? However,
okay,
I'm going to
well,
go ahead
write it
and,
right now while you're talking.
Oh,
write
Lord,
right
have mercy. My name Muhammad 2G. I want to see you free. Y'all going to have to let me get up off this L-I-N-E. Before I'm not good. I honestly can premeditate very well, but I cannot freestyle. You just found found my button. How about that? Lord, embarrassing me, boy. I tell you, but I still love you, sister.
And I love you more. And please give Sister Samika the greeting for me.
I will.
And let her know that I love her much and I miss her. And inshallah,
I will
see her soon, one day, sometime.
Okay.
And Brother Philip, I can't thank you enough. And y'all really need to look up Brother Philip. Brother Philip does everything. If I tell you everything, he does everything.
Okay,
he's one of the best and the most talented graphic artist that we have in the Nation of Islam. He's a videographer. He's a rapper. He's a writer. He's a mother plane researcher. He does everything. And Brother Jerry, I'm so honored to have you here representing H-Town so very well. And you are artist in your own right, and I want you to keep on making music. I want you to aspire to reach your goals, because you and, of course, Brother Philip are the pioneers of the Nation of Islam, and there are so many coming up behind you. And Brother Jasari and Brother Problem 13, and these are my godfathers, Vince Bryan, and you know it's Brother Leonardo, and who else?
Come
we got Gat Turner and D.A. Smart. All of you are the pioneers of Nation of Islam hip hop.
Right.
And I'm here to support y'all, and that's what Young, Gifted, and Black is all about. This is the Nation of Islam hip hop radio channel right here. Absolutely, yes, and we're going to get that information. So give them your Twitter, your website, where to get your music.
Yeah.
I know you're at bandcamp.com, so give them your information.
Everything is on centerstar.com. Go to S-E-N-I-S-T-A-R. That's S like Sam, E like Elijah, I like impossible, and then put the word star behind it, S-T-A-R, and we breaking all impossibilities like the black woman. But also want you to go to iTunes and download I Found Love by Centerstar. You know, it's imperative that we get those numbers up on the download. You can download it from the website. It's also on Amazon.com. And the video is on YouTube, but everything is on the website. And if you need to contact me for shows, call 866-986. Oh, gosh. Just go to the website. I got so much on my mind right now, I can't remember the number.
Absolutely.
Just go to the website, centerstar.com, and I'm sure you're going to list everything. 986-9333. That's it. 866-986-9333, extension 1. Thank you.
Okay, and if y'all didn't get that, go to events on Facebook and look up Young, Gifted, and Black for Tonight, and you can get to Brother Phillips' website from there. And okay, and Brother Jerry, I know you're on Bandcamp.com, but give us your information.
Okay, I'm going to be pretty brief and simple, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to post some additional information. However, the simplicity is going to be go look me up on Facebook at MRR. I have a band page, which is Muhammad 2G, and that's spelled MUHAMMAD space the number 2, the letter G, and it's usually a capital. And so that's Muhammad 2G. That's how you're going to find me on Facebook. Then when you go to, there's one other, I have a YouTube as well. However, I'm condensing those. So what I'm going to do is late tonight, I'll have a link. If you make friends with me on Muhammad 2G or come see me on Facebook, I'm going to post it, additional information. Just like my page, I'm going to post it. And then you'll be able to get the message of what the how to get directly to me on YouTube and stuff like that. I'm going to add it on to it.
Okay. All right. And all of you have joined us in the chat room. And thank you, Mr. Kermit Henderson, and all of you on the line. Thank you so very much for your love and your support. We are so honored to have you, Brother Jerry, and you, Brother Philip, with us. And please make it a point to come back again sometime soon.
Indeed. Just say the word.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our show. Thank you all. I leave you as I came before you, and I greet in words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Alaykum salam.
All right. It was a pleasure, y'all.